Word of God tells us that the righteous man shall live by faith. Faith is simply trusting, having confidence in God. Trusting Him, trusting what He says, trusting His direction for us in our lives. Trusting the Word of God. Jesus put it this way. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's faith. Faith is not having to figure it all out first. Faith is not making sure you have all of the resources first. Figuring out whether you can do it or not, whether it's convenient or not. It's just simply trusting God. Having confidence in Him. And beginning to move out and do what it is God is telling you to do. It is then and only then do you receive the grace, which is God's enabling power, to do what you cannot do on your own. So don't plan for failure. Don't plan for sickness. Don't plan for disease. Don't plan for your lack. I want to say that one again. Do not plan for your lack. Whether that be resources or finances or any other thing, don't plan for that. Let me give you an illustration by what I mean. How many of you ever been sick in your life? Anybody? Headache, cold, maybe a disease, whatever. You've been sick. How many of you can sit down? Have you ever been sick on a Sunday? Anybody ever been sick on a Sunday? Sickness doesn't, it doesn't really matter what day it is, does it? But how many of you have ever, and you don't have to acknowledge, been sick on a Sunday, but you've already been planning to call in on Monday? That's what I mean by planning for your sickness. When you give room to your sickness, it will accommodate the room in which you give it. Man, I sense the power of God anointing on that one. You got to hear that. How many of you ever had God speak to you to do something, and immediately you were like me, and you tried to figure out if you had the resources, the finances, the time, the ability to do whatever God has asked you to do? And really what we've done in the process was we've planned for our possible failure before we ever began. It's really quiet in here. Okay, well, I've done it. See, the Lord is wanting us to be a people that He has created to live by every word that proceeds out of His mouth. Period. To understand that we are a supernatural people, we're not just a natural people. That if He has called us to something, He's asking us to do something, that we have so much trust and confidence in God, that He will provide the resources, financial, people, talents, whatever it is that we need to accomplish what He's actually called. The noise level just went up just a little bit in the room. Well, bless the Lord. He's a good God. He's a good daddy. He does amazing things. He wants to continue to do some amazing things. He amazes us, and he likes to amaze us with just supernatural, wonderful miracles. They're happening all day long, all around us. May we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of God is doing and saying in this time and in this hour. I want to share something really, really quickly. Has this ever happened to you? Like, just, it's really God doing it or saying it, but just like almost out of the blue, he kind of just starts talking to you about something that you haven't really been focusing on. Has that ever happened? Do you understand what I'm saying? Just like, whoa, hey, yeah, okay. And I know when God does that with me, he wants to get my attention about something, and he's wanting to talk about something specific. And that happens to me a lot too. It happens to me all of the time, but most of the time I don't even share about it, but I felt like I need to just for a minute this morning. And because it happened this morning, and I didn't even say anything to Renee. I was just kind of trying to figure out what God was really talking about. It's nothing really earth shattering, but you know, we focus a bit on the seven mountains of society there, and we talk a lot about ecclesia, and all of these are very important things. And you know, there's a lot of craziness going on in our culture and in our country today. There's a lot of talk about love and perversion of love and relationships and a perversion of relationships, and people are having a difficult time figuring out, some people, whether they're a male or a female, and all of these kinds of crazy things that are happening. And so I wasn't really thinking about any of those things. I was just kind of sitting there and trying to actually wake up in the morning. And I just really had this impression on me about family. And how, you know, in my mind was just drawn to the scripture, to the word, and how God so loves family. And in our society, how we've put so many other things before family. And so my mind was drawn to the word, and just in Genesis, when God created man and woman, he created humankind in his image and according to his likeness. And he created one man, and then he created one woman, and both are created in the image of God. And he brought one biological man and one biological woman together. And he blessed them, the Bible says. It was a blessing on them to be fruitful and to multiply, to reproduce others created in the image of God. Isn't that beautiful? That's just a beautiful, I mean, it's so simplistic, but it's just a beautiful part of our creation and wonder of who God is. And really, the very first, however we want to say it, institution, the very first unit was family. And you know, family is eternal. Not just our biological family, because God is our heavenly daddy. And the family of God is eternal. And God planned family. He planned relationship from the very beginning. See, when I think of ecclesia, and I probably haven't talked about it enough, but ecclesia really is a family dynasty. We don't rule and reign in the earth just because we're Christians. We rule and reign in the earth because we're kids. We're sons and daughters of the living God. And because authority has been inherited, we inherit that. Why? Because of family. Because he's our dad. And we're going to have that type of family forever. So family is eternal. And I remember, I don't know where I saw this or whatever, and I know we did it a little bit at a time. On the seven mountains, we kind of saw it like in a pyramid and put a pyramid and put the religion mountain on top. And that I really think that's wrong. I think it's real wrong. We need to put the family mountain on the top. Not just the biological family, because family is the fabric of society. However the family goes, so society goes. And that's why you see what our culture is happening. So the congregations, ecclesia, the fabric of it is families. So I think the Lord's refocusing a little bit of my attention to that area. I don't know what exactly he's saying, but I think we need to give a more attention to the family and that family unit and the structure of our culture and the structure of the ecclesia. Is that making sense? And really the family of God. See, that's eternal. My biological brother, if he never accepts the Lord, we're not going to spend eternity together. But Scott and I, we're going to spend eternity together. That's family. Jesus made this statement too when his mother and his brothers came. Remember, he was preaching in the house and his mothers and brothers came. And somebody got his attention and said, hey, your mother and brothers are outside. And what did he say? Who are my mothers and my brothers, my sisters? But he who does the will of my Father. See, what was he doing? He was making a statement. There's a family chain. See, when you get born again, there's a family chain. There's a change of family. God just doesn't become your God, your master, your Lord. He becomes your dad. His DNA is on the inside of you. You are recreated in his image, the spirit that he gives you. You have all of the potential in the DNA of God, the potential to be just like Christ and to bear the fruit of Christ-likeness. Amen. Anybody else excited about that? Maybe somebody back there excited about that? Praise God. A couple things really quick as far as announcements. We have Project Shine going on. For those of you that are not familiar with Project Shine, the school district, independent school district, started this several years ago. And so one Saturday during the summer, they invite the neighborhood, they invite the community, the business community, our government, our city government, and the church community all together on a Saturday to help. They usually pick about 5 different schools to work in that need landscaping, cleaning up, things like that. And we've been involved in it since the very beginning. And it's just a wonderful way to connect more into the community, to connect more in the school district, and to have influence, because it's all about having influence in society, speaking of the Seven Mountains. And so that Saturday is June 25th. They work from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. We have a sign-up sheet, a paper one, the old 20th century one out there. And then we have a newer 21st century one that you should have got an email about that you can sign up online if you would like to. Just to let you know, this particular sign-up can be just slightly confusing because there's a sign-up for us, which is the paper one out there, and when you go online and sign up, you're signing up for us, but there's a link. If you read the sign-up, there's a link that will take you to the school district sign-up because you need to sign up with them too, okay? So they know that you're coming because they provide lunch that's free, and they'll also give you a T-shirt if you put on there your size. So if you don't do that, you won't get the T-shirt. You'll probably still get the lunch, but you probably won't. So does that make sense? There's 2 sign-ups for the Project Shine. And then Friday, Anna just sent out the sign-up for the fireworks. So we have a busy June coming up, and the fireworks tent is coming up, and we're beginning the fireworks tent set up the very next day on Sunday, June 26th in the afternoon. Now, the fireworks tent, when we raised money last year, we went to Honduras, so most of the money went towards that trip. But we always take about $2,000 from those proceeds, and that helps fund our neighborhood network, which is our food ministry for the entire year. And then this year, we're going to put some money towards the Jula Language Project. You guys remember the Jula Language Project? That's still ongoing until it's completely paid off. That was $35,000 to get a language in oral, an oral verbal translation, audio translation. And so even though the translation's done and it's starting to get out into people's hands over there in the Ivory Coast, the money still needs to come in and finish that. And then we'll use some money for any future missions projects that we have going on as well. Amen. So if you can help out with the fireworks tent, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done there, and it's a lot of time, but it's going towards worthy endeavors. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are just really grateful. At least I am. I am really grateful that Dale and Sharon are here with us. Dale and Sharon Ryder today. And those of you that don't know Dale and Sharon, they were part of that. Actually, they're still part of our congregation. Even though they moved to Idaho, you guys been gone, what, 2 years? In Idaho, 2 years. What? 3? Oh, that's right, because you did leave a little early, didn't you? And they've been gone for a while, but they've still been part of us. And Renee and I had lunch with Dale and Sharon. I think it was Tuesday of this week. And what's that? Oh, whatever day it was this last week. I remember it was last week. Yeah. But anyway, we were sharing, Dale and I, and he was sharing some stuff. And Dale's got so much revelation, so much information, revelation, and knowledge about the Word of God. And he said some things that I was like, what? You got to explain that one to me. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And are you still talking about that part of? We'll see where it goes. And he's got such a wonderful, great teaching gift as well. So I imposed on him and I just said, man, while you're here, would you share that with us? And he obliged to do that. And so please welcome Dale Ryder. That happens too.
This is awkward.
There we go.
Oh, it's on. Good. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Man, I'll tell you what. I've almost forgotten what worship's like here. It's just so intentional. And it has an urgency in it in the spirit that, man, you don't find in many places. And you just, wow. Amen. So blessed. I could still do another couple hours of that, by the way. this morning, Joe and I were talking about division of soul and spirit. And how redemption works, and it's one of my favorite subjects. I've been meditating in this subject for like 35 years, I guess. And I came into the body of Christ at the close of the Pentecostal move, and then I went through the charismatic movement and a word of faith, and I have elements of all those things in me, and I treasure my heritage and all those people that paid such a price to be where we are today. And today we're in an environment where we have so many things available to us, and we can get anything. Roku, you know, you can go to the internet, you can flip your phone out, you can get blessed anywhere you're at. But sometimes it seems like in the abundance of this information, we have lost sight of God's pattern, God's intention for us. And as I was struggling early on with Hebrews' statement that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to help you distinguish the difference between the spirit and the soul. Wow. It searches out the very thought and intent of the heart. And I'm thinking, wow. So I was digging in there for a couple years, and then one day I discovered, let me see if I can find it, this scripture in Exodus 25, 8 and 9. And God said, let them make me a sanctuary. Now that's mind-blowing right there. That's kind of incredible. Let this man build me a sanctuary. And then he tells his heart reason for doing that I may dwell in them. Isn't that amazing? Religion has taught us that God is so sin conscious. And religion, by the way, has made us so sin conscious. And they've portrayed the Father as so holy and so righteous. And he is all that. But he's so withdrawn and so reserved and so hesitant about you and I. And that is not the truth. Where do you go? According to all that I've shown you, according to the pattern and all of its furnishings, just so you shall make it. In other words, everything has to be according to the pattern which came down from God to Moses out of heaven. When I saw that, that stung my heart. I thought, here's a pattern from heaven. I'm thinking, why I've never heard this before? Why? Wow, that's amazing words. This is a pattern from heaven. And I discovered that this little wilderness tabernacle, this little building out there in the desert, contained all the information I ever needed to know about what Jesus did for me. It's just chock full. Line upon line. It's just every station in it is full of manifested revelation and glory. And you can pick and choose. Most people in the body of Christ do. Well, I like this over here. This is Jesus. Yeah, it's no less Jesus. And so whenever we get a revelation and we're just focused on one part of the tabernacle, oh, which I've got to draw here in a second, we exclude all the other truths. And so we have to have assumptions to help support what we think we know. And that's really not a problem if we're moving on in revelation knowledge. Our minds are so small, and God is so great, that every time we get information from Him, we immediately start surrounding it with assumptions so that we can hold on to it. And that's not necessarily bad if we don't stay there. And our assumption is going to lead us into religion and legalism. And that's never good. Praise God. So the pattern, hope you can see this. It's simple. God does things simple so that we can understand. Here's a perimeter. I want to hurry because I really want to get on to us as spirits here, but I want you to see the relationship. Here's a perimeter of, really quickly, posts made out of wood, which typify the flesh, and this is the flesh of Christ. It's setting on a base of brass, which typifies judgment, and He was judged for us. Anything that touches the earth, because the earth has been given over to the hands of Satan. Thank God, God didn't give man the earth. He gave him authority over the earth. There's a difference. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Satan would have destroyed this place already if he had given that to Adam, and Adam turned around and gave that to the devil. But anyway, there's a white curtain which represents the righteousness. Outside of that is the world. I mean, you know, we're not in the world. We're in Christ. There is only one entrance right here to the east. I don't know where we're at compass-wise, but we go in there. Christ is the door. And I think you're going to like this, Joe, because this has a lot to do with government in the body and realizing where people are at. And there are many people in the body of Christ that just come through the door. Christ the door. Up here is the brazen altar, where sacrifice is taken care of and sins are taken care of. It's a type of the cross. There are people inside this door right here that do not even realize the transfer that took place right there. So their actions are what? Little less than what we'd think is biblical, but they're still in there. And that's so important. And we've got to learn to honor what God honors. God honors somebody in Christ as Christ. That's a scary thought, but that's the truth. We are to honor people in Christ despite their denominational, all that mess, okay? So we are a race of people because, well, I don't want to get into that right now, but anyway, here's the cross. We've experienced the cross. Here's the labor, the power, the word. We still use this outer court every day. But our heart is on the inside, the tabernacle proper. As you come up to it, you see this white perimeter. You can go all the way around it. It's kind of austere. It's a border. It's no entrance. There's one way. His name is Jesus. There's one door. His name's Jesus. But you come around that east side, and there the perimeter is marked with red and white and blue. And it is a type of the four Gospels. Each Gospel has their own color. It's the message that, whoa, here's the entrance. He doesn't want us to miss it. It's bright. Whoa, here's Christ. Here's the entrance. Here's the door. Here's the glory. So, we, the out here, these posts are like 7.5 feet tall. And at the top of the 7.5 foot post are silver caps, which connect this whole border. And silver is the thing in the Bible that represents redemption. And under the law, in order to redeem their firstborn, they have to give so much silver. I forget what it is now, but silver is always a type of redemption. But the point is that all of our brothers and sisters out here who have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to go inside are see redemption, but it's kind of far away. The realities are kind of distant. They're always going towards redemption and still are realizing that redemption is in us. So in these two parts of compartment, this is body, this is soul, this is spirit. Now spirit is an overlapping word. You say, man, that guy's got a sweet spirit. Yeah, well, actually, everyone has a sweet spirit that is in Christ in this compartment here. But what we're actually saying without realizing it is that that soul, that personality, that outward, well, it's not an outward man, but we can see that man. The spirit is the hidden man of the Christ, the hidden man of the heart. So our heart, we can see one another's heart, but we can't see the spirit because there's so much glory there. You can't perceive it with your senses. That's why James talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty, that mirror where you can see what Christ has made you. And don't be a forgetful here now and walk away and then take in all this information from the flesh, all this information from my circumstances, and think, man, I'm really not too good. I'm not doing too good. No, you're in Christ to see what we are in Christ. As a matter of fact, I've got some scriptures here somewhere. See if I can find them. I was listening the other day. I've made notes on it so many times, I threw them in a trash can. I've got that one scripture for this morning. Usually, I try to, just inundate people with scripture so that they will know that this is the truth. But I found out that a lot of people just kind of believe what they want to believe. The Bible doesn't get in the way of what what they believe, you know. So, I have stuff here somewhere. But we are new creatures in Christ, amen? 1 Corinthians 5:17 says that any man is in Christ. He is a new creature. Now, that creature they're talking about is this hidden man. Trust me, some days I need a lot of saving. But that doesn't mean I'm not saved. Praise God. And, all right. So I want to talk about what's hidden. We know what we see. We know each other's personalities. We know our tendencies. That's how we recognize one another. 1 Peter talks about the hidden man of the heart. I want to show you this morning how your hidden man of your heart and your hidden man of your heart and my hidden man of my heart is identical. Now, this will blow some religious minds. I don't want you to get real excited. Don't throw any rocks yet. But this is the foundation of the new birth. This is the foundation of the covenant. And that's part of the reason why we stay in a place of honoring all the time. Because this is Christ. This is Christ. This is Christ. And if it's somebody that's not in Christ after acting like a lunatic, he still has the potential to be in Christ. And actually, as far as his offenses and sins and all that mess that's going on out there with him, Christ's already taken. See, the traditional view of salvation is come before God and bow down and beg and see if he forgive you of your sins. John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That is truth. Jesus did that. It won't do that man any good if he never receives Christ. He'll wind up going to hell. But the exciting thing is for us is to focus on the fact that it's taken care of. That and when we do that for others, we have a bigger view of ourselves being redeemed and corrected and the righteousness of God. So we want to see how that operates, how that works. Very quickly, I'm going to go through a list of scriptures this morning, and then we'll talk a little bit about how it relates to the soul and the manifestation of the kingdom. Ephesians 4:25, please take notes, says that we are all members one of another. That's some external club, and we're all joined up, and we're all going to think just totally identical. And even though Paul exhorts people in various places to be of one mind, think on one thing, be in agreement, we're still not going to think identical about those things. We're a body. We're diverse. We're all specialists. Wow, you're a specialist. And the things you get in the Spirit are different from some things somebody else gets in the Spirit. So we're all members, one of another. Now that sounds New Age to some people. If we were talking about our minds and personalities and bodies, that probably would be New Age. But this is Christendom. Galatians 3:28, you are all one in Christ Jesus. One seed. Ephesians 2:18, all in the body have access by one Spirit to the Father. See, one of the errors we've had in the body of Christ is to think that the Spirit is the real you. Anybody ever heard that? Well, it's true. The Spirit is really what you are. There is no denying that. We are Spirit. Man is Spirit. But it's not who we are. By making that our personal life, we've gotten over into error, and we know that we mess up, so we think we've got to straighten and sanctify our spirit, but that's God's job. There I go again. Let me get down the road here. We all have access by one Spirit, one body, one Spirit, one hope, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Ephesians 4:4. Ephesians 4:24 says to put on the new man. There's one new man. Praise God. And all of us in Christ have him. Ephesians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, by the way, manifested in all these other things. You know, as Ephesians 5 talks about the man and the woman being one flesh in marriage, so is Christ and his ecclesia one spirit. We are married. We're one spirit. Colossians 1:16. All things were created by him and for him, and we are in him. We're actually an extension of Jesus. That's an amazing thing to think about. See, as this little compartment here, the spirit, is half the size of the soul. There's a reason for that. Our soul is very diverse. Man, we got your emotions, your will, your intellect, your imagination, which is very important, your feelings, all your cognitive abilities are there, and we manage our five senses in the world with that. But that soul has the ability to perfectly mirror the spirit within. And that's where our heart becomes whole. Many teach that the heart, that word cardia in the New Testament, is totally refers to the spirit. But it does not. Read all the scriptures. But anyway, the heart encompasses the soul and the spirit. And they together are whole. Because the spirit has the life of God in it. Total life of God. And I said, the Godhead bodily is in there. And you ever wonder, well, why am I like this? Well, it's because of the principle that where the Bible states that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. And the spirit of the housewife is subject to the housewife. And spirit of the, you know, whatever you are, your spirit is subject to you. And people fight that, man. You know, the spirit is so great, it's so holy, it's so, you know, it's got to be subject to the spirit. No, we have to be subject to spiritual things so that our spirit can flow through us. Because the completeness and the fullness is already in there. It's the miracle of the new birth. You know, like I say, I came into the body of Christ about the time the charismatic movement started. And everything was about the Holy Spirit. And everything was about the gifts. And everything was about the power that was flowing. And I kept getting along with God saying, Lord, I just want to know the basics of the covenant. I just want to know the miracle of the new birth. What is it? Well, I know I have the witness in me. I know I've experienced it, but what is it? I'm one of them guys. What is it? How does it work? And you say, I am born again. Every time you say the words, I am, it's the name of God. Everybody knows that's the name of God. But we have an I am, and it's right there in that little compartment. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the righteousness of God. I am this new covenant. And there's all kind of glory in there. So, why doesn't it manifest? Because we haven't renewed our minds. I was wanting to do more on division of spirit and soul today, and the Lord's kept dealing with me. Everybody needs to know about the quality of their new spirit. How perfect it is. How perfectly perfect it is. And while the spirit is what we are, how many man is a spirit, God is a spirit, we should get together. John 4 says those that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. But it's not the Spirit alone. It's through the power of the Spirit within us. See, most people, there's this curtain here between this outside, the body, and when you enter into this holy place that we know as the soul. Now, that's amazing too, isn't it? That God would call that a holy place. It's because He treasures your will, your personality, your individuality. Oh, He's in love with you. He is just so compassionate and passionate for you, the real you. And sometimes we try to become spirits only in wanting to please the Father when we don't realize how precious we are and all our failings and shortcomings, all those errors. But we've got provision for that too, don't we? But this, people go in there through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there's three articles of furniture here. One on the right side, within the Jewish mindset, that's the preference. That's the favored place. Is the table of showbread, which represents the Word of God to our life. There's two stacks of bread there, and one of them us, and one of them's Christ. The human Christ, the man Christ is there, and we're there. He and His ecclesia are on that table. And that is a place of feeding on the Word of God. But in order to see that, we've got the lampstand over here, which has oil in it, wicks in it, fire in it. And in this soulish place, there is all this maintenance. We've got to go in there every day. We've got to eat the bread on Saturday. We've got to change the wicks. We've got to light the lamps. We've got to, you know, eat the bread. We're doing all this stuff. And the Holy of Holies, we don't do anything. That's where the glory lies. That's where it doesn't need any maintenance. That's the presence of God. The very Shekinah of God is in there. And we have the ability as priests to line up with His Word, eat His Word, live in the light of the Spirit, and draw beyond that curtain all that power to manifest it. Because the kingdom is to be manifested by people, by persons. And as we renew our minds to the Word of God, that, and we stand before that curtain, and on the high day of atonement, the priest went in with incense on one hand and blood on the other and made that intercession. And by the way, that intercession isn't some of what it's been said to have been over the years. It's not a style. It's not a format. It's not an agenda. It's mostly your life. Who are the people I love? Who are the people I think of? What, you know, it's just these things that God's putting in you right there before that curtain, with the blood and the incense, with the worship, with the prayer, and the power of God coming in. As a matter of fact, that bread is called the bread of His presence. It's soaked in there all week long. They only went to eat on the Sabbath. Aren't you glad we can eat every day? It soaked up His presence, which was right there beyond that curtain. The glory was there. He was faithful to be there. We know that on the day Jesus died, He was still faithful to be in the temple there in that Holy of Holies. Even among a nation that had just so lost so much glory. We know He's there because He ripped His way out. Amen. But He is faithful even when we are not. And we're to see His faithfulness in a way that it makes us faithful. We fellowship with faithfulness so that we become faithful. We fellowship with generosity so that we become generous. See, religion would have you to be all these things in order to qualify to be a saint. Amen. That's backwards. God has made us all these things in the Spirit. The whole fullness of the whole God. It is so wonderful. It is so wonderful that not only do we have Christ imputed to us, and we need that, and some people only see that, but we also have Christ within. And both are very, very important because we make a lot of mistakes, don't we? You know, and sometimes we're not on the right foot. We get up, we're half asleep, and we've said something or done something. Why did I do that? But yet, all of that is covered. All of that is covered. And even 1 John 1:9, I've heard so much mess. We're in here, man. We're in here. We're in God's provision. We're in His righteousness. I've heard so much mess about 1 John 1:9. It's a glorious scripture. You know, first of all, He counted everybody under sin. I get excited about that. He made us all equal and said, you've all blown it, you're all under sin, because He didn't stop there. And then He did that for the purpose of making us His righteousness. Wow. So it takes all the trying out. Oh, you know, I don't have any self-worth in that body, in that soul. Hopefully I'm developing a little character and God's rubbing off on me and I'm learning to operate in the kingdom. But if we could just hold on to the fact that it says in James, and look into that mirror, that perfect law of liberty, this word of God, we'll see what we are in Christ. And that's important to distinguish between what we are and who we are. We've had an element that said, well, what the real you is the spirit. Well, yeah, but it's not my personality. It's not the personal person of me. The way I say it is that your soul is your personal life. It's your personal identity. But the spirit is the life of that life. One of the scriptures in Hebrews, I forget where it's at, talks about that the life that was in them, the one that God breathed into Adam, became death. See, we don't understand spirit. That's why we think we're all separate in spirit, because we don't understand the quality of the spirit. Spirit, even when a man is dead in trespasses and sins and without Christ, his spirit gives his body life. Now, isn't that amazing? Because it's the gift of God. He is the Father of spirits. Let me get back to my list real quick. I'm off my subject. What do I got? How long have I got? There's another one. Colossians 2:7, established in the faith, abounding through thanksgiving. One faith. One Lord, one baptism. Colossians 2:10, we are complete in Him. Yeah. We don't think that way when we're blowing it, do we? Or when our body's trying to fall apart on us. Jesus said we are all of one. We're all of one spirit. Again, in Romans 12:5, just like I said in Ephesians 4:25, we are members one of another. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. If you're one spirit with the Lord, and I'm one spirit with the Lord, guess what's true about our spirits? They're one. Praise God. Then 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Isn't that a blessing? And again, the fact that 32 says that our spirit is subject to us. Spirit is what we are. The soul is who we are. And hopefully we can bear the fruit of that which is within. See, some people make such a big deal about the fruit. They idolize the fruit and talk about the fruit as if the fruit were the thing. It's not the thing. The thing is the force that's inside the Spirit. There's a force of faith in there that is, the Bible says, it's the faith of Jesus. You don't even have your own faith. But you do have the right to believe. See, faith is a force in the Spirit, but belief is an activity of the soul. And I can just determine to believe. I determined to believe that scripture. I don't understand it yet, but I determined to believe that because that's the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. That puts us a little further down the road. A lot of people want all the little things in place and all the understanding. And this stuff here is it's not light. It's not. The understanding of it does not come readily. It took me 20 years to get out of the first grade, probably out of kindergarten, but on this subject, because we have overlapping words, like spirit can be an overlapping word. It can mean attitude. It could also include your spirit or your soul. Heart is definitely an overlapping word. It means both spirit and soul. It's just, but soul is not an overlapping word. I have found that, and that really helps. So it's the renewing of the mind and knowing that everything you need in life is inside you. And it's not that we're sufficient of our own selves, because it's like the typology where God took the children into the promised land, and he said, what? They're bigger than you. They're mightier than you. They're stronger than you. They outnumber you. Because he wanted us to depend on him. That we depend on the Spirit. That we can do all things through Christ. That we can be more than overcomers. Because we're in Jesus. I haven't done too much drawing this morning, have I? But, you know, it's important. It's just important what you believe. It's just important. I heard a man say one time that every life proceeds in the direction of his most prominent thought. And another very important man once said, as you think, so are you. So you can have the glory in there. You can have the awesome, astounding, mind-staggering knowledge that Christ is within in total adequacy. And still struggle. And yet, Peter says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And all of that that pertains to life and godliness is within. Because Christ is more than our needs. We kind of look at Christianity sometimes as begging God and getting, you know, it's just, Lord, when he wants us to fruit, to manifest the Spirit. Fruit and manifest the kingdom. Wow. I struggle like everybody else, but you know, after 35 years of this, I'm starting to get just a little inkling of what I need to do, what I need to say, and what I need to believe, and what I need to be about in this earth, because we are vessels of the kingdom. It's just not some place we're going to. We're vessels of the kingdom, the Christ within. And just know that when you make progress, it's spiritual progress, but it's not spirit progress. because the Spirit's already progressed. You know, it's this here is our spiritual life. It's the fact that our spirit's recreated and our soul's in agreement. So with that agreement, we can manifest what's within. We'll never manifest it all. It's too vast, too glorious, too great. But it just is amazing. The casualness sometimes when I talk to people, the casualness they have about the fact, oh, yeah, I'm Christian. I received Christ. We're in the kingdom today. And I tell you, there's a breakout fixing to happen right here. You're in a good place. There's a glory ready to manifest. All we need to do is add our will to His. Your spirit has no will. It's not made up like that. It doesn't do any choosing. But you can choose to agree with the things of the Spirit, and He will manifest. He will deliver. I've had one really strong area in my life, all my life. I haven't walked in it perfectly, but that's healing. And I am nobody, and I'm certainly haven't. I say I'm nobody, but oh, I'm something. I haven't, you know, manifested it perfectly, but I've pretty much walked in divine health for 30 years. I haven't known sickness. The older I get, the better it gets. I've had some eye issues, had some dental issues, some things that I didn't look at properly that I'm working on now. But as far as sickness and disease go, me and Jesus, man, I'm telling you, it's awesome. Not only to look back on the history of 30 plus years of that, but to know, to be confident. I turned 68 last month, you know? I mean, to be confident that I'm going to be in health. I know that. The healthy one. It's and not to have any fear about finances and, you know, I'm at that stage of life. Social Security's kind of, you know. That's not our source. God's our source. Praise God. Well, I was going to do a lot more stuff, but I just want you to know that God is able to make all things work together for our good. And I want to say just a little bit about that this morning before I close. If we have an outer court kind of perception of that, what we're going to naturally think and what we're naturally, the natural man thinks, is God is talking about this car wreck over here, this bad relationship, this, you know, this sickness, that, whatever. And God is a great redeemer. He can make all these things work for your good. Amen. What I'm saying is, if you look in context there, and you read the context, and Paul is a great itemizer. He'll make a list. This is spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This is spirit of law, sin, and death. And he'll go down through there. What Paul was talking about was all those things on that side of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Man, the fact that you're redeemed, you're born again, you're the righteousness of God, you've got the aid of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is yours. And we're made out of the Word of God. That's the quality of our spirit, being born again. Not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And you know, I forget where the verse is there in Corinthians where it talks about cleanse yourself of, cleanse your spirit and cleanse yourself from all the filthiness of the flesh. Well, it's not talking about your spirit. It's talking about those guys just three verses up in the previous chapter. that stuff messes with your soul. It has access to your soul because you can go out there, you can lift the curtain up and see all that stuff out in the body and out in the world. But ideally, the curtain's supposed to be down, and you're in there with nothing but the candlelight of the Holy Spirit, and you're eating the Word of God in that light. That's where we make our decisions. That's the control panel right there. We're standing there. This is what we do in life. This, you know, I make my decisions by the Word and by the Spirit. I'm coming before you, Father, right here at the golden altar. Why can't I shut up? All right. But yeah, the all things that are working together for you today are those redemptive facts in Christ. All of them. All of them. Praise God. Thank you so much. It's so good to be back. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, that turned off.
Praise the Lord. I hope you were really paying attention. There was some really good nuggets, really, really good nuggets in that. And this is such a huge topic, too. Maybe sometime when you come back, we can continue this very thing. I just want to share one thing. As he was as winding up his teaching, I heard something that I just want to share on. And I heard the word restlessness. And it was in context to really what Dale was sharing, that so many, really, and I just want to talk to Christians for a moment, those who have given their life to the Lord. There's a lot of Christians that are just very restless. You know what I mean? Just stirred up and a little strife-filled, a little chaotic on the inside. And so much of what Dale was explaining too from the tabernacle, but there's a peace and a rest that God has for us to reside in. That is the promised land. That's the Garden of Eden. It's his presence. It's the Holy of Holies. Even when there's chaos all around us. And one of the temptations that the enemy likes to give to us that causes a restlessness is convincing us that, number one, either God's holding out on us, like he did with Eve in the garden, which really is something, it's you're missing something. You're missing something. Something's missing. There's a piece missing. See, when you really understand this, there's nothing missing. There is absolutely nothing missing. 1 Peter tells us that God's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He didn't miss anything. It's already there. And when you're born again, it resides in you. But see, the enemy likes to get us stirred up on the outside that there's something missing. Either God's holding out on us or the temptations with Jesus. There's something. There's something missing for your security. There's something missing for your destiny and the fulfillment of what God has created you to do. So you must do something else. And the enemy gets us so stirred up on the outside that we're so restless, we're missing the whole time on the inside. Is that making sense? Put the curtain down. I like that. The curtain's down. And so many Christians are running all over the place, believing that their blessing is over here, their thing is over there, that they have to go over there, or they got to run around or get something somewhere. When it's all the time, it's here. So I just want to decree over you, and you're going to have to receive it. It's not a magical thing of just the rest and the peace of God over your heart, over your mind, and that you would turn on the inside to him. He doesn't have answers. He is it. He is the answer for all of your needs, for your healing, emotionally, mentally, physically, for your relationships, for your marriage, for your raising your kids, for your provision, everything. He is it. Glory. And this, what I'm talking about is not an easier and easier thing, because our world is moving faster. Things are happening quicker. There's more chaos. There's more things that are happening. But though 1,000 fall at my right, left side, and 10,000 at my right, that's either true or it's not true. But see, there's a place. This is the place. It's a spiritual place of rest with the Lord. And knowing that He is there, that He is with you. You know, that's to me is one of my greatest comforts in life. I know that He's always with me. I'm mowing the lawn, He's with me. I'm riding my bike, He's with me. I'm going through struggles and trials, He's with me. And He's always there to help me to become more like He is in the process. So, Father, we thank You. Thank You for who You are. God, we just thank You so much for the word that You've given Dale and for the understanding. God, I pray that we really heard that and receive it in our heart. And Father, I thank You, God. Thank You, thank You, thank You that You have decided that we would be alive on the earth in such a time as this. Nothing that we have gone through that's happened to us that we've done has surprised You. Lord, I thank You that Your mercies are new every day. And again, I say rest. Rest to your soul. Rest to your mind. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Line it up. Line it up. Line every thought up. Thank You for healing us and setting us free. In Jesus' mighty name. Everything that we say and everything we do, bring glory to Your holy name. Amen and amen. Even a woman. Be blessed. Settle for nothing less.